Welcome to the Girl Scout Advantage podcast, a podcast where we educate, empower, and share the stories of the Girl Scout experience. Join us to rediscover the magic of leadership, teamwork, and personal discovery. The Girl Scout Advantage, a podcast where you will learn how the Girl Scouts Heart of Michigan creates successful girls for today who will become the leaders of our tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Girl Scout Advantage podcast. I'm your host, Brenna West, and I am so excited to be here today chatting with and getting to know Acadia Hallbrock. So Acadia, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Brenna. I'm excited to be here.
Of course, of course. So to kick us off, would you mind just giving us a overview of who you are and how you're involved in Girl Scouts?
So my current involvement is that I am a troop leader with an amazing host of co-leaders. So we've got a really strong team. And I was a Girl Scout growing up from second grade through the end of high school. So I was a Gold Award recipient. And as I became an adult and a parent myself, I realized how much impact scouting had on my life and wanted the same for my daughter. And here we are.
Wow, that is so cool that you're an alum and a Gold Award Girl Scout at that. What are some of those things that when you look back, you know, you mentioned this profound impact that Girl Scouts had on you and wanting that for your daughter. You know, what are some of those things that you look back and attribute to your Girl Scout experience?
That's a really interesting question, because I think it's really easy to point to like my personal highlight reel. We went whitewater rafting and that was amazing. And we did rock wall climbing and that was amazing. But I think I'm starting to realize as I lead my own girls, the thing that actually makes the difference is feeling like you can accomplish anything. You can do anything. We were really well led in that it was truly girl led. Our experience as we grew was very much our own. And I don't think I realized how special that is in the lives of young women until I had enough distance to look back on it. And I wanted to create that for the girls in our community.
Can you tell us a little bit, if somebody is unfamiliar with this girl led concept, what this girl led experience is like and how you experienced it as a girl?
Yeah. So it's funny because I didn't have that language until I started leading myself and doing the trainings. But as a child, it just felt like one of the very few places in the world where I was in charge and where I was encouraged to take risks. And it was okay to try a thing and fail and call to arrange something and botch the first 2 minutes of the phone call and then start over. And so all of those experiences, when we were encouraged to call and book the campground or call and do whatever, or make the menu plan. And sometimes those things failed. All of those experiences amounted to an understanding that it's really just about finding the steps to get to the end result and working your way through those steps. And I think having leadership then when I was a child, that really did allow us to fail. There were camping trips where we ran out and we ended up eating very weird combinations for the last dinner. And that was okay. And it was funny. Now it's a good memory. And seeing that, I think, allowed me to carry that into my adult life. And now I'm an entrepreneur. I've run my own business for 15 years. And I think having the bravery to take those risks started in scouting.
Why, from your perspective, is it so important for girls in particular to have that safe place to fail, that safe place to take risks? I think this is one thing that people don't really realize, like, why it's so important for girls to have that place. So I'm just wondering if you can expand on that.
Yeah, I'd love to speak to that. And anybody who's listening that knows me is going to laugh, because I am notoriously a risk averse person. I do not like risky things. And I parent accordingly, right? And so it's really easy for all of us, especially coming out of the pandemic. I mean, having a young child through the pandemic, we were all just mitigating risk every step of the way. And I think we accidentally showed our kids, and I certainly did, showed our kids that it's not okay to be risky. And I think scouting allows us to create really safe risks So if the risk is that by Sunday morning at camp, we don't have oatmeal left and we have to eat bagels instead, it's a really small risk. Nobody's going to come to harm, but it's a way for them to learn and grow. And I think kind of expanding our thoughts about what's risky and allowing them to take risks and you know, shoot a BB gun at camp. And that's out of the comfort zone of a lot of families, mine included, but we're creating really safe parameters within which our girls can take appropriate risks. Always appropriate risks, but take risks that may feel big to them at the time. And for some of our girls, just spending a night away from home is feels big and feels risky. And it's okay to get there and cry and be lonely and be sad, or it's okay to get there and flourish. But creating these opportunities for girls to challenge themselves and step outside their comfort zone in a way none of us were able to a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when we were in kind of deep pandemic mode and it was all just about control, controlling exposure, controlling risk. So I think that's really profound to my thinking now more than ever, as we're bringing these girls out of that really controlled state and back out into the world to take risks and be bold.
So you mentioned something really interesting, you know, as a parent, like during the pandemic, accidentally kind of being in this mode of protecting from all risk, right? And like really having to manage that risk. Did you have to kind of push yourself out of your own comfort zone to allow that risk to happen for your girls? Like, you know, to provide those safe risk opportunities that you kind of mentioned, was that like a struggle for you to get used to, or did you have to kind of step outside yourself and go, okay, we have these parameters in place, like I can let them take this shot, you know?
So yeah, I think my comfort zone is much broader in a natural setting, in a natural environment, or maybe we're hiking or rock climbing or things like that. And for other families or other girls in our troop, maybe social settings feel riskier. And certainly coming out of the pandemic, that was a challenge. So I think it's not as difficult for me to allow girls to take physical risks in a very controlled setting, as it is for them to take emotional risks. And you kind of have to get comfortable with that, thinking, oh, this girl's about to pitch an idea and I know she's not going to get backing from her patrol, but allowing that to happen and using it as an opportunity to coach and guide the rest of her group in constructive feedback and to guide her through, you know, we're coming at this with an engineering mindset. We're throwing out an idea, knowing it's not the winner. And we're all going to work together to a further instruction. And it's funny as an adult, and I think we learn this parenting, but it's different when it's 30 girls that aren't all your own, to push ourselves. And you have to get comfortable with taking risks yourself and role modeling that's okay. I'm going to pitch an idea and none of these 30 girls is going to like it. And it's okay. But now we know. Now we know where we stand on that. So yeah, it is. I think I'm learning and growing just as much as they are, for sure.
And what a valuable lesson for the girls to learn when you think ahead to, you know, if they choose to go to college and they're in a group project, right? And they have to pitch this idea to their group project, or looking ahead to the workplace, like having to pitch an idea to their boss or to their team or, you know, whatever. We've all been there in the professional setting where you throw out an idea and it's like, it totally falls flat. And if you've never had that experience of like what it's like to kind of pick yourself up, dust yourself off really quick, like it can be a tough lesson to learn. So it's practicing that vulnerability to your point and, you know, knowing how to pick yourself up kind of thing is so important. So
yeah, and we've seen our girls grow so much. Each year we do kind of a separate outside fundraiser and they come up with ideas and they break into teams and they pitch it. Mm-hmm. And when they were a little younger, we had an adult with each group that helped with that pitch. And someone was pitching an idea and, you know, we culturally train girls to be nice. And I love that. But let's be nice and give great feedback. How about that? So, you know, the first idea came across and everybody was kind of like, oh, yeah, that's fun. And I said, no, ask tough questions, girls. Like, let's figure out, is this really going to make money? Do we have what we need to start this up? Do we have the support that we need from grownups to make this happen? And in the 2 years when we did this kind of pitch activity again, most recently, the kinds of questions they're asking are incredible. And I think learning to take feedback frees them up to give better feedback as well. And so they are, they're little CEOs. I mean, the way they're thinking about it now is so different than how these girls approached the same challenge a year ago. It's amazing. It's remarkable.
Now, do you see them being really curious about different topics? And, you know, obviously you mentioned asking questions about problems that they're facing. You know, do you see them practicing curiosity as well in other areas?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as girls filter into the troop, they're almost surprised by how bold we are with questions and how willing we are to say, like, wait, is that going to work? And we really foster that in our troop, both as a means to encourage them to grow and foster skills that will serve them however they live out their adulthood, whether, you know, professionally, privately, we all need to be asking bold questions. But we really have fostered that so much in the troop that I can see new girls taken by surprise. And I think it's really powerful stuff to see 30 young women. And I've got daisies and one through cadets. So I've got a huge range. And you can see that pattern where little girls, our youngest girls, are willing to ask these tough questions because they don't really understand the emotional consequences for the other person. And then in the middle, they figure that out and they go quiet. And we really take that as our challenge to say to some of these kind of third and fourth grade girls, like, you know what, be bold, put yourself out there. And they do. And our new girls that come in are really good contrast, and are sometimes surprised by the kinds of questions that are asked. But the trickle down effect is that we've created this environment where it's okay to give questions and it's okay to field questions, and none of it is personal attack. And I think that is one of the things that will serve them lifelong that you can't point to and say, but whitewater rafting is really fun. That's really hard to say, like, I'm teaching your girl to ask really good questions. So it's a really powerful thing that we get to give these girls, and it's amazing to be a part of it.
And it's definitely a reflection of, you know, we talk about our mission of Girl Scouting is to build girls of courage, confidence, and character. And it takes a lot of courage to ask those tough questions. It takes a lot of courage to throw out your idea and not know how the group is going to react to it. And like both of those instances, asking and being on the receiving end of a question or feedback, like how you react to that can help to build your confidence too, and ultimately your character. So your point is so well taken that sometimes the most powerful parts of Girl Scouting are those seemingly small opportunities. Like, yes, it's the big things too, but it's also like the magic of the little moments that add up to those big outcomes. Are there any little moments that you think of from your time as a troop leader that like you think about and you're like, oh my gosh, that was such a powerful moment to experience. Like, I wonder like what that girl thinks about that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, so many moments like that. And professionally, I'm hugely busy and I do scouts as a treat for myself. And I think it would be easy and is easy. A lot of people say like, well, can you take that off your plate for a year? And I'm like, no, this is the good stuff. Like, this is what feeds my soul. And so, yeah, there's hundreds, literally hundreds of those moments. So many firsts for so many of my girls. And as someone who sees interacting with nature as a huge part of maintaining mental health and physical health, it's really powerful to have the privilege of taking girls on their first experience. So we went to a winter event at Camp Linden last year. And I had a girl in my car and we're driving up and she said, you know what, Miss Acadia, I don't think I've ever been in the woods before. And I said, oh, okay. And she's like, I've been in trees and there's like trees in the park, but I don't think I've really been in a forest, like in a book. And I'm like, well, we are about to be in a forest. And so we're driving, and, you know, for those not familiar with Linden, you get off the highway and you're in kind of back roads, highways for a while, and it's farm fields. And she kept saying, like, is this it? Are we in the woods? And I'm like, no, this isn't the woods. And you kind of pull off a side lane and you're getting closer to the camp entrance, and there's trees on one side, big trees. And she's like, is this it? Are we in the woods? And I'm like, no, we're not quite in the woods. And we get in the parking lot, and she's like, oh, I see now. Are we in the woods? And I said, you know, we're not quite in the woods. Let's go down this path. And so we start walking down the little lane, and it's tree lined and tall, and it's wintertime, and we have this beautiful, like, light dusting of snow. And it, right at that moment, the sun came out from behind a cloud. Oh, I'm going to get emotional. and lit up all the frost on the trees. And they were just glowing. I mean, you couldn't ask Mother Nature for a better show. And it lit up. I've got goosebumps. It lit up all of the trees above us. And that dusting falls down, and it's like glitter. And she said, oh, I get it. We're there. And it was, I'm getting very emotional. It was such a powerful moment to be able to share with this child who truly had never been in the woods, and to give that kind of access and that kind of understanding of the beauty that's right out there if you seek it out was really one of the most profound moments in my life.
That I share the goosebumps. I think they transferred through the screen to me.
Through
because,
the screen.
I mean, yeah, I can picture that moment, and having been out at camp, you know, with girls who've never experienced camp, or I've had experiences being in a big city with girls who've mm-hmm. never even been to, you know, the city of Lansing or mm-hmm. the city of Detroit, you know, having those first opportunities with girls is so special. Mm-hmm. And like, it can be the small first experiences.
The small first. We yeah. had a little Daisy who we've camped with several times now, I think 3 or 4 times. And the last time we draw it sticks to see who gets to pick the top bungs first. And that's a hot commodity. And every leader that's listening is kind of laughing and rolling their eyes, but it's a hot commodity. And she several times had had the opportunity for a top bunk, but wasn't quite brave enough. And she, this last camping trip, was like, you know what? I think I'm ready. And even that is just so beautiful to watch her challenge herself in that way and take a risk. And she said, you know, do you think somebody would swap if I need the bottom bunk tomorrow? And I'm like, of course. So watching them problem solve and be willing to take a risk and build their own safety net, which is so powerful in life. And this is a really good opportunity for them to do that. All of those things are just, it's the good stuff, right? It's those beautiful moments that keep us all running through 100 emails a day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So take us back to when you first, you know, said yes to being a Girl Scout volunteer. You know, you mentioned at the beginning of the episode that you had such a powerful experience of your own when you were a Girl Scout, and you wanted that for your daughters, right? But can you tell us about like that first year as a volunteer? Like, what made you say yes? And what were some of the, you know, experiences that first year that made you go, yep, this is where I want to be?
Yeah, I had kind of an interesting experience because my first meeting was a kind of an informational meeting at the school. And I wasn't sure what I was walking into. I think in retrospect, now that I know how the system works, someone from council was kind of hosting an informational meeting at our school. And so I went to the meeting, and looking back at my own scouting career, I had the same leader for most of it, who is still very much a mentor. She's still involved with Heart of Michigan. But she had such a mystique for me, which happens to adults, you know, as a child, right? She had all these special outdoor skills, and she had all this understanding of things. And so I went into that meeting looking around to see where that adult was. I'm like looking for this adult that has magically all of this outdoor knowledge and understanding of how to deal with girls in this huge age range. And I'm looking around, and I thought, oh, I think she was just a normal person. But truly, I did not understand that until I was a full-on adult sitting in that meeting. I really was waiting for a magician to walk in, and they did not. And so I left that meeting thinking, oh boy, this isn't something I can take on. You know, I work blah, blah, blah hours, like it's hard. And so then it kind of got tabled because there was a pandemic. And then during the pandemic, we were sharing a babysitter with a group of other girls my daughter's age, and they had half day school. And so in the afternoon, we were looking for something that would be guided enough that the babysitter could keep these kids busy. So I pulled out an old Girl Scout badge book because it was on the shelf of my house. It was on the shelf in my mom's house, but I found it and pulled that out and, you know, said, well, do they like that? I mean, it's essentially a book of smart activities for little girls to do. I mean, this is a book with curriculum, folks. Like, grab it, use it, keep your kids busy. So we ended up registering them all as Juliet Scouts because I'm still waiting for this magician, right? And I'm like, I'll be a mom. I'm good at being a mom. I will totally be a mom until the magician comes along. And so pandemic ended, we're back at school, and I'm like, oh, I guess we should make this a real troop. And ended up another mom at school was kind of trying to get the same thing off the ground. So I'm like, well, we can collaborate. We can do this. We still are waiting for this magician to show up. But in the meantime, we'll just get a little thing together. And I think, I don't know what the council rule is. It's 5 kids, it's 7 kids, whatever. There's a minimum for the troop. It's a low number. And I was like, oh, I don't know if we're going to hit it. Like, I don't know if we're going to have enough interest. And now it's been, after 18 months, we had a wait list. I mean, the need in the community was so strong. And the impact that we can make is so great. And we're just so happy to be reaching all of these kids. And no magician has come, and it's been fine. Like, it's been fine. And we have been really honest with our parents about, both she and I work full time. We're full time working moms. And we have a great co-leader, Mr. Andrew, who has a lot of art and design skills and shows up in a big way in that platform. And we've just been really honest with our parent community and said, like, this is not a thing we can do solo. And we have profound parent support that, because I think we're humble and we say, like, hey, we need to do fall product and we don't have capacity. Who can step up and do just this role? And so the magician isn't here, but I think the magic of it is that it's all of us. I mean, all of our parents are deeply invested in the troop and these positive outcomes for these girls.
I love how you explain that feeling of, like, waiting for the magician to show up. I think a lot of parents and a lot of potential volunteers kind of get stuck in that mindset of, like, well, it couldn't be me. Like, I couldn't possibly be qualified to do this. I don't know how to facilitate this Girl Scout experience. Like, I don't have the skills. How did you kind of break through some of those thoughts to be able to facilitate the Girl Scout experience that you do? And what kind of, like, training opportunities were available to you that kind of helped you get there?
That's a really great question. Most of the barriers were imaginary. So that's the thing you have to solve within yourself, right? Like, I think actually there were very few barriers to me having the skills or the knowledge it took to do this. The trainings at the time, it was deep pandemic, so we were doing a lot of online trainings and they were really comprehensive, but they were, none of it was new information. It was just a reminder of, like, this is a really great way to facilitate this. And here's a support network if you need it. And so, if you're listening and thinking of starting a troop, I would say it's already in you. Like, don't consider it a bunch of new knowledge you need to acquire. Those things will come, but that's not it. I think if you show up with a willingness to work with your girls and your families, the rest will fall into place. And that sounds so trite, but it really will. Your community will show up for you because everybody who's there is just as excited as you are for their children to have this experience. So I would say most of the barriers are imaginary. And then I just email council. I mean, I was probably emailing council once a week for a while there. It's the paperwork of it all, I'm going to be honest, is a little hard, but somebody at council will definitely reply to your email and be like, here's the form you need. Like,
that's right. Yes. We have an amazing help desk team who,
yes,
like, literally sure, their entire job is to help our volunteers and our members, you know, with what, yeah, they need. So
yeah. Getting, yeah, over the, like, acronyms. And I would be like, there's a form and it's a 3-letter acronym. And it's the one I fill out if I want my girls to go horseback riding here. And someone's like, here's the form. Yeah. Here you go. In your inbox.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely lots of those acronyms to get used to in Girl Scout world. and some that I can't even keep straight after all these years, you know. So it's just that the help desk team is amazing. Thank goodness for them. So tell us a little bit about your troop, because it sounds like it's a multi-level troop. Daisy's all the way up through cadets, which if somebody's not familiar, Daisy's start in kindergarten and are kindergarten and first grade, and then cadets are sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. What is it like to facilitate a Girl Scout experience for girls in different age brackets? And can you tell us a little bit about like how the different age levels interact?
Yeah, I was always in single level troops. So I have a really great frame of reference for scouting and scouting leadership, but nothing that was multi-level. So wasn't sure how it was going to go, but I can tell you what we're learning as we go. I don't know if this is the right way, but this is what we do. So I think our leadership team is really focused on not letting the older girls, not asking the older girls to be babysitters. So some of our older girls love to facilitate for the youngers and some don't. And that's okay. If it's something you're interested in, there's absolutely space for that, but it's not anything we ever expect or require. So I think that's a really firm boundary in our troop. And it's really important to me because some of our girls are older siblings helping to raise little ones at home. And this is a space where I don't want to ask them to do that. So that's a boundary that we set that has served us really well. But there are instances when we're all together and it's required of all of us to help keep the little safe and secure. And that's just the reality of being in a big camp. So we do, you know, pair off buddy groups or ask an older girl to kind of stay with a Daisy buddy group, a kindergarten buddy group. And it's fun to watch that evolve as well. I think often, even when older kids are watching younger kids, they're not really empowered to be in a leadership role. They're not making the plans. And so our first big camp out, we really saw the girl led take effect through the duration of the camp out. I mean, the first night they're like, you know, who's going to cook the dinner? And we're like, you're going to cook the dinner. Like this patrol's cooking the dinner. And there was a lot of hesitation there. And so, you know, we kind of allowed them through the camp, through every activity. You guys are in charge. What do you want to do? How do we get everybody from here to the archery range in the next 15 minutes? What do we need? Do we all have it? How do we make sure everybody has their water bottle? How do you guys want to make this happen? And so we really just handed all of our girls, oldest to little, leadership all day, every day when we're at camp. And on that first camp out, the change was so profound and so dynamic. It's going to sound like I made it up, but truly we get back and I'm driving back and we've got, we were doing camp pickup in the school parking lot. So imagine that like drop off U-turn shape. Transport vehicles have all the stuff. And I'm thinking, how do we keep the daisies and the littles out of the road while parents are pulling through? We've got to be really cautious. I don't want anybody lost in the shuffle, right? So I'm like troubleshooting in my head. And I get there and one of my juniors comes up to me. And she says, okay, Miss Acadia, some of the juniors were in this car and we think we have a plan figured out. We think three of the juniors should take all the daisies over to the fairy garden at school and just keep them at the fairy garden. And then the brownies can unload the cars onto the sidewalk. And once the parent has the stuff in their car, they can come get their daisy. And I was like, sounds great. Perfect plan. And it's so amazing. I got chills again. It's the theme of the interview. It's so amazing to watch that change from girls at the beginning of camp who are saying, how do we, what do we, how are we going to, and what they really mean is tell me what you want me to do. In 3 days, 3 days of giving these girls power, and then they take it. I mean, they take the ball and they run with it. And it's so easy to think of that change as being something that would take years to cultivate. And it's not. These girls are ready. All of your girls, your daisies are ready to be in charge. And so I don't remember what you asked me, how the bigs handle the littles. Is that it?
What it's
exactly
like
to facilitate. Exactly how they want to. And of course, am I like there counting and checking? Yes, absolutely. But we let them self-govern quite a bit and it works out. We establish ground rules of safety and respect and listening to everybody. And then they take it from there. I say to my co-leader all the time, we have like tremendously excellent girls, right? Like this is amazing and remarkable. And these are just, we just happen to have the 30 best children in the state, right? And we don't, spoiler alert, all your girls are capable. But it's just, it feels like that because these girls are so capable and we don't have to do much. It's a lot easier than I thought to have a multi-level troop. Practically speaking, we break them out for a lot of badge work. So everybody's working on the same badge. We're all focused on the same goals. So guest speakers and field trips apply to everyone. But for badge work, we do break out the littles, or we pull in parent support. So where the juniors can tackle an engineering problem on their own, we'll pull in five extra parents and get them kind of paired up with the daisies so they can get a little bit more one-on-one. But other than that, I'm not overstating it when I say they self-govern. Those that want to help the littles do, and those that don't choose not to, and it works out.
So one thing that you mentioned that is so true, it's like girls are ready to take the lead and they sometimes just need to be given that mic, right? Or given that, like, here's your opportunity to take the lead. And so often I think adults make the incorrect assumption that girls aren't ready. You can be surprised, you know, girls will surprise you at every turn that they are so ready. But what is it like to coach a girl who, you know, she's ready. And at first she's like really hesitant and she doesn't know, like maybe she's never been given that opportunity to lead before. And she doesn't kind of latch onto it as quickly as maybe another girl, right? Can you tell us a little bit about that? Like, how do you go about working with those girls who might need a little bit more of a push or a prod to take the lead?
I try to give them a lot of space to tell me what they need. And we do have an advantage in that our homeschool is an IB school. So they are learning things like taking risks at school. And so all of our girls have a common language. They understand when I say, can you be a risk taker here? They all have that common language. They're all learning it at school. But I usually just ask a lot of questions. What would it take for you to feel comfortable telling a story at fire tonight? What would it take for you to feel comfortable trying archery tomorrow? Like, how can we make that? And they know, this all is going to sound so trite and made up, but they know what they need. If you make quiet space, they'll tell you. I think a lot of my girls on the quieter side of things need a little more time to prepare. But once you know that, that's fine. At breakfast, you can, you know, pull somebody aside for a minute and say, oh, hey, we're headed to archery later. And last time that was a lot for you. What can we do? And sometimes that means they just want to hear the safety rules again, or sometimes they need reassurance that you will have ear protection on, so it's not going to be too loud. Or can we send, you know, a pair of girls ahead to get ear protection and bring it back to you before we even get close? Is that helpful? But they kind of know what they need if you make space for them to tell you. And we foster that, right? Like, we have, through every meeting, there's always space to tell us what you need. And so that's not new at camp. It's not new when we're trying the challenging thing. It's the same when you can't find the marker you want and you're frustrated. Tell me what you need. Tell me what you need to feel successful here. And so we just ask a lot of questions and they know what they need. They really do.
Yeah, there's a lot of wisdom in those girls that so many people really underestimate. And I think it's our job to help them see that, you know, even though others may underestimate them, we don't, you know. I think you have a lot of really great advice in that little blurb too. I think a lot of folks can take many lessons from what you just shared. Acadia, is there anything else that you were hoping to chat about today that we didn't quite get to yet?
Yeah. So something that's really kind of near and dear to my heart and is really important for me is using Girl Scouts as a tool to get these experiences in front of, or present these experiences to girls with a diverse background, a diverse socioeconomic status. And Girl Scouts really feels like a vehicle to get all of these things in front of some of these girls with challenging backgrounds, right? We can give them science. We can give them nature. We can give them leadership opportunities. We can give them hikes in the woods or downtown Toronto. We can give them all of these things. So it's really, really important to me that we as an organization lean really hard into reaching some of these underserved girls, because I think we're uniquely positioned. There's a lot out there for STEM for these kiddos. There's a lot out there for kind of one facet of what it means to be a girl, an adolescent girl, a young girl, a growing girl. But Girl Scouts is uniquely positioned to provide all of it and the safe space to fail. And so I think where some opportunities in front of these girls are really science-based or education-based, and that feels really metriced. It feels measured. We're here to do a thing. We're here to up your reading score. We're here to do whatever. And I really think we are poised to allow these girls to be the powerhouses they already are. And that feels not unique only to Girl Scouting, but Girl Scouting feels like one of the very few places where we can kind of hit all of those things for girls in an environment where we can provide camaraderie, we can provide peer support, we can provide adult support, we can provide relatable mentors to these girls. And so that's a passion point for me, reaching these girls, making it economically feasible, making it feasible for them to get to meeting, considering transportation, considering your meeting location. As leaders, there are a lot of steps we can take to make this functional for our parents. And if that means you have a parent that you have to fill out the forms right at their side because they need help with the paperwork, do that, because I promise the girl you reach needs you the most, needs you the more than the mom that's always there 20 minutes early with the forms. So I think encouraging all of us and reminding me to keep reaching out for these underserved communities, because the work we can do there is huge and profound in their lives. Huge.
Absolutely. And we have, you know, throughout our council, throughout the 34 counties that we serve, we have many underserved communities that in some cases there are just waiting lists that, you know, you referenced earlier. There are waiting lists of girls who desperately need this Girl Scout experience. And, you know, we just need volunteers who can help to facilitate those experiences.
And those volunteers don't have to be magicians. So if you're out there thinking, maybe I can do this, you 100% can do this, and you don't need to be a magician. You don't have to look around. It's in you. I promise. Just like it's in our girls, it's in all of us. Mm-hmm. It's there.
That's such a good reminder. Yeah. And you don't even have to be the mom of a Girl Scout or the dad of a Girl Scout, you know, parent of a Girl Scout. If you are an adult who cares about empowering girls, like, end of list. That's what you need.
Right. You have ticked all the boxes. Yes.
Exactly. And to pass a background check, of course. But, you know, those are the three check boxes, right? Awesome. Well, Acadia, thank you so much for joining me today. It was really lovely to learn about your passion for Girl Scouting and hear about your stories and your experiences. I really enjoyed chatting with you today.
Thanks, Brenna. It's always a great opportunity to cheer for my girls. They're so amazing, and it's fun to be able to talk about it. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, they are. All of our girls just blow me away, you know, in one way or another every single day. So thanks again for taking the time to chat with me.
Thanks so much.
To all of our listeners, if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, please be sure to do so by clicking the beautiful subscribe button that you see. And then be sure to leave us a rating and a review. This will help us to grow the podcast and reach new audiences. And you never know who might stumble upon the podcast and, you know, want to re-engage with or engage for the first time with Girl Scouts and, you know, restart their Girl Scout journey. From there, go ahead and give this episode a share on your social media, because you never know who might listen and feel compelled to give back and to empower girls with a Girl Scout experience. So thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, be bold, be brave, and leave each place a whole lot better than you found it. The world, come with me. Time to let our dreams fly free.